Good morning. Hope you've had a great Thanksgiving weekend so far, and we're glad you're here starting the week with us here at Great Oaks. We have a lot of visitors. We have some family in town still from the holiday. We have some people just dropping by to worship with us. We're glad you're here. We hope if you have some time after services today, if you can hang around with us just a little bit, we'd love to get to know you some. For that matter, we hope everybody can hang around for a few minutes after services and let us talk a little bit before you go home. There's someone in this room you probably don't know. And so meet somebody you don't know before you leave. We do have a new family we want to introduce this morning, Aaron and Emily Anderson. Could y'all stand up just a second? I see Aaron has snuck out somewhere, but we have Emily here. This is Emily with their daughter Ella and son Eli. You see them sitting with David and Jane Dement. Emily is David and Jane's daughter. They've been married. Emily and Aaron have been married for 10 years. Aaron is around here somewhere today, but he is working with the Memphis Police Department, been doing that about 13 years. Ella's in third grade, I believe, and Eli is 4 years old, and they are a lot of fun. If you haven't got to meet their kids, they're talented kids and a lot of fun. We're glad you guys are here at Great Oaks. Emily also homeschools them, right? I believe I'm right about that, so she puts time into that. So God bless you for all that effort to homeschool your kids. But we're glad y'all are here at Great Oaks. If you haven't had a chance to meet Aaron and Emily yet, please do that. If you haven't had a chance to meet Dave and Jane yet, please do that. We want to know each other. We want to talk to each other. As soon as we stop talking to each other, we stop becoming a family. We stop being the friendly church that we want to be. So make sure you meet somebody you don't know today. We have some things we're going to do with our verse for the month here in just a second, but let's start with a prayer, and then we'll jump into our lesson together. God, we're truly thankful today for all the ways you bless us. It's been a week of thankfulness and thanksgiving, and we pray, God, that that is truly who we are and who we're becoming if we're not. We know that everything we have comes from you. God, as we study today, we pray that what will be said is what you want to be said. We pray that as we gather as a church family, that we will meet each other and get to know each other and be an encouragement to each other's faith as we go through life. God, we need you. We beg you to be with us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we've had a verse for the month, most months this year. And what we've done with this month is Philippians 4, verse 6. What we've done with these verses is we say it together every Sunday. And then on the last Sunday of the month, which is today, we try to take some words out and see if we can say it without all the words on the screen. First of all, let's just read it together. And then we'll try to take some words out and see how we do. Philippians 4, verse 6. If you would, please read it with me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So he starts with anxious. He doesn't want us to be anxious. And he goes from nothing to everything. We don't want to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's how I've helped myself know this verse better. All right, got it? Look at it real quick. Here we go. Let's take some words out. Let's see if we can say it together. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let's take a few more out and see how we do. You did great on that one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Good job. That's a great verse. Worth repeating, worth memorizing, and worth living. So let's try to make Philippians 4:6 a part of who we are. A great passage. We've had a whole month of prayer. We finished up our 40 days of prayer earlier this month. We had a Sunday of prayer last week where we prayed and talked about things we're thankful for. And then we've had the whole Thanksgiving holiday. So a good verse for the month. Hopefully a good verse for our life. We've done some different things the last few Sunday mornings, but before that, we were in a series on 2 Corinthians. And so what we're going to do this Sunday and next Sunday is finish up our fall months of really digging into the life of Paul. He'd been with us on Sunday nights. We're going through Paul's life in a very overview fashion. There's a lot more that could be said, but we're trying to walk through Paul's life and get to know the basic contours of how he lived. And then we're walking through 2 Corinthians, a letter by the Apostle Paul, on Sunday morning. So we're spending the fall months really getting to know Paul a little bit better, and hopefully seeing Christ living in him is helping us make Christ live in us a little bit more. We have two more lessons in this series, of 2 Corinthians. We're going to spend our time today in chapters 8 and 9 with a lesson I've called the Giving Circle. Here's how 2 Corinthians sets up. The first seven chapters, there's 13 chapters. The first seven chapters are the ones we've spent the most time in, and I hope that's okay. Basically gives the Christian perspective on life. We talked about things like comfort in affliction, how God gives us comfort, and then we can comfort other people. We talked about having an eternal perspective. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day, the end of chapter 4 says. How if this tent is taken down, we have a better tent, a home with God, in chapter 5. So a lot of great Christian perspective stuff in the first seven chapters. In chapters 8 and 9, he talks about a special collection Paul was taking up from the churches. Not just Paul, but several people that traveled with Paul were taking up this collection to bring to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. So that goes on in chapters 8 and 9. And then next week, chapters 10 through 13, there's a lot more that could be said, and I apologize for doing it just in one study, but in chapters 10 through 13, the tone changes, and Paul begins to let them know how upset he is and how hurt he is by some of the things that these false teachers have been saying about him at Corinth. And so we're going to see how Paul handled criticism. We're going to see what he said about the criticism he was receiving there. And if you've ever taken criticism, if you've ever lived long enough that you've had criticism, next week's lesson is one that we can all learn from, I hope. But this week, hopefully also, as we talk about the giving idea there in chapters 8 and 9. From conversations with people that have come to Great Oaks from different religious backgrounds, my impression is, let me tell you what I've heard. What I hear is people say this every now and then, you guys don't talk about money quite as much as other religious groups do. And that's been said as a compliment. And my impression from those conversations is that a lot of religious groups have made religion too much about money. And it's turned a lot of people off, understandably. It's made a lot of people upset about what they felt like was a constant push and talk about money. We don't ever want to do that. And we don't ever want to act like that's what religion is all about, because that's what some people get the impression of. It's really all about that. We'd like to think we're about much bigger things than that. But I hope we don't talk about it never, because it is in the Bible. And what we do with our blessings and our resources and how we handle those and whether we give those to God's work or not, those are all spiritual issues. And the longest section in Scripture that talks about that is right here in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And so we're going to talk about it this morning. And Paul is, again, taking up that collection. And one of the things he says in chapter 8, verse 7, that I've got here on the screen, he says to the Christians at Corinth, just as you abound in everything, you're abounding in faith, you're abounding in the ways you speak, utterance, you're abounding in knowledge and earnestness and love. Look at the end of that verse. See that you abound in this gracious work also. In other words, you've got so many great things in your faith that you're doing, he says to the Christians in Corinth. Be part of this giving also. Make that part of who you are. What I'd like us to do, we're going to build a circle together today. I don't have it set up quite that way on the outline. You've just got it 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to build a circle up here on the PowerPoint screen because I think you see a circle of giving here. And my belief is when we see the whole circle of giving, as we're going to describe it here in chapters 8 and 9, giving makes a lot more sense. I think when we take giving out of the circle and we talk about giving in isolation away from the way it all fits together, I think that's when people may get upset about it. Because it's heard in the wrong context. We're going to put it in the whole context this morning, and hopefully it'll come across well. First thing I've got as we start to build our circle this morning, giving starts with God. You notice the way I've tried to make the circle is starting at the top. It comes down from above and comes toward us. Giving starts with God. You see that in several passages that you can write down the outline if you're keeping it. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Everything we see belongs to God. Everything we have that we're tempted to think is ours, it belongs to God. When we look at the place we live, it came from God. When we look at a paycheck, it comes from God. When we look at the clothes we put on this morning, they come from God. If you came here in a car, it came from God. You look at all your blessings, everything you have. And we always need to rework our mind on this because we're tempted to look at those things and say, look at what I've done or I've got or I've accomplished. We always need to take a step back and remember that we are just renters here. that everything we have belongs to God. And we are stewards, that He's given us this stuff for a short time. And if we, if the world keeps spinning long enough, eventually we're not going to be here. Whatever was ours is just going to go on to somebody else, or it's just going to end up in a dumpster somewhere. We got to have the perspective that everything to start with is not ours. It's God's. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 is another passage, this one from our context today in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Look at how he describes God. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. When you look at the food you have, that also comes from God. God gives the seed to the sower. He makes those plants grow. He gives us food. He's the one who multiplies everything to us. A few verses earlier in verse 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Have all sufficient. You have what you need is what that phrase means. You have what you need. All sufficiency in everything. Came up in our Bible class this morning. God has made big promises about how He will always make sure we have what we need. We stress sometimes about future, and sometimes I almost get the idea some people in our world want us to stress about future and how we just need to pile up as much as we can because who knows what the future will bring. Jesus said things like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And if you read the whole context there in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 6, what Jesus is promising is, if you will put God first, God promises you will have what you need. Won't be everything you want, maybe. We said in our class, there's more in the world, but there'll always be something that you want that you don't have. There's just too much in the world. But God says, you will have what you need if you'll seek me first. We have all sufficiency that comes from God. The fact that we're able to live and have what we need. And then the biggest blessing that God has given us is the gift of His Son. And you see that in this giving circle too, that all giving starts with God. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He was in heaven, He had everything. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. So Jesus, who leads the way in this giving idea, He sets aside heaven and comes here for us, takes on poverty so that we might become spiritually rich in Him. And then the whole context ends in chapter 9, verse 15, where He says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, which I think is talking about Christ and the salvation we have in Him. So when we're thinking about giving, this whole giving circle, it starts with God. The old time preachers used to say, you can't outgive God. God is the one who's given us everything to start with. So then the second piece of our circle then, giving should then flow through God's people. In other words, I don't need to just see myself as a collector of God's blessings to me, someone who's just piling up the blessings God has given me. I need to see myself as a channel through which God has given me all these things, and I want to help bless the world for God through all the things that He has blessed me with. So God blesses me, I try to bless the world for Him. You see that in this passage. This is the same verse we read just a second ago, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, where it says that God makes all things abound to you, all grace, you'll have all sufficiency. Notice why He does that at the end of the verse. So that you may have an abundance for every good deed. God gives us what He gives us so that we can have plenty of resources to help others, to do good deeds, to help His kingdom. A couple verses later, verse 10, again, we put this one up here just a second ago. He's the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And then look what I've underlined here. What He will do there is He'll multiply our seed for sowing, to help give, to help pass along, to increase the harvest of our righteousness, to help us do good, to do what's right. So God gives us these blessings, and He wants to bless us in doing good things. So I've got to do good things, pass along those blessings, and He'll bless those efforts as well. You see the circle. So I want us to spend a little bit of time on this one, probably more time on number two than we will any of the others, just to think about, because that's what Paul focuses on here, to think about how we should be giving people, especially to the work of God. What does the Bible teach on that? People have all sorts of different ideas. What does the Bible teach on giving and the Christian faith? Well, giving should be done cheerfully, this passage teaches us. Cheerfully.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, notice the whole verse. He says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. Let's stop right there for a second. We give as we purpose in our hearts. In other words, giving should be planned. It's not haphazard. It's not whatever I have left. It's not anything like that. It's a purposeful act of Christians. We sit down and we think, what can I give? And hopefully that mentality is a can. God's given me so much. I want to pass along those blessings. What can I give? So we give as we purposed in our hearts. But look what he goes on to say. Not grudgingly, not under compulsion. That's why as a church, we don't try to put pressure on each other. We don't try to put pressure on people to give. God doesn't want us to give under compulsion. God doesn't want it to be grudging. God wants us to do what at the end of the verse? God loves a cheerful giver. When we get in our heart that God has given me so much, and I want to freely pass that along to help His kingdom, to further His cause, God loves to see that. God loves to see people who have learned to find the joy. And we want to keep building our hearts in that direction. Sometimes we can stress so much about finances that we can miss the joy of giving for God. Let's work more on purposing. Let's work more on not giving grudgingly or under compulsion, but giving cheerfully. We also give as we've been prospered, the Bible teaches in the New Testament. A lot of people have heard about tithing, and tithing is something you find in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant of God. What they did under the old law of Moses was God asked for people to give 10% of everything they had to God. But the New Covenant of Christ doesn't ask for any certain number, doesn't ask for 10%. You don't even find that idea of tithing in the Christian faith. What you find is giving. Doesn't say to give 10%, doesn't say to give 5, 20, doesn't say a number. What it says is give as you've been prospered. You see that in 1 Corinthians. The first letter Paul wrote to this Corinthian church, as he's already starting to talk about that collection he was going to take up for the saints, he says, I want each of you on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. God doesn't put a number on it. Doesn't say, I want everyone to give $5 a week. I want everyone to give 5%. He says, I want you to give as you prosper. What that forces me to do is to stop and think about how God has blessed me. Am I giving as I've prospered? God has given me blessings in life. I need to think about those, and I want to try to give accordingly to Him. You want to give as you prosper. And I'll say for myself, in deciding on my own giving, Christians that have really challenged me on this growing up, you'll hear Christians every now and then say something like this. People have been thoughtful about it. They'll say, you know what? God doesn't ask for 10%. But I heard somebody say, in the Old Testament, they were supposed to give 10%, and we have a better covenant with better promises. And so some Christians will say, I want to give more. With a better covenant, better promise, I want to give more than 10%. And again, I'm not saying that there's a number on it, but that's challenged me to hear people say things like that. The people who are really trying to pour themselves out for the work of God. God has blessed me. I want to pass it along. I think what all of us need to do is to just sit down and think, What am I passing along? What am I giving to God's kingdom? Am I giving as I've prospered? And can I increase that number in some way to show my faith in God? Another thing I've got on this second one is this giving idea, New Testament and Old Testament. This is how God has made His work actually happen through His people. In other words, God has a way in Scripture of laying His vision for His work in front of His people and then saying, now if you believe in this the way I do, give toward it. And that's what's going to make it happen. You see that in the Old Testament. They're at Mount Sinai, and God gives them the arrangements for the tabernacle. And God didn't just create the tabernacle. He could have done that. God could have snapped His fingers and made a big tabernacle appear right there in the middle of the children of Israel. That's not what He did. He said, I want everyone to give. But I want you to, verse 5 there, give of a willing heart. It's not grudgingly, it's not under compulsion. If you believe in this idea, give toward it. And so people brought in their stuff to help build the tabernacle. In fact, people brought in so much stuff. And again, these are people out in the wilderness. People had to tell Moses, hey, we got too much stuff. We need to tell the people to stop bringing things. And so Moses had to put out an announcement. Let's stop bringing things for the tabernacle. We have enough now. God put forth the vision, and then people gave because they believed in it. 1 Chronicles 29, there's this great prayer of David. Remember, David wanted to build the temple. And so people brought in items to give to the temple, and David led the way in that. He said, here, I'm giving this much toward the temple. And it says in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 29, then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. There it is again. It's not grudging. It's not under compulsion. They offered so willingly because they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. They believed in this. They wanted to give toward it. And so they rejoice, and David rejoices with them. God lays His vision before His people. If you believe in this, give toward it. And then you see that same thing in the church. That passage we read just a second ago from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. This is the way the church does it. We here at Great Oaks, we have seven elders. And what our elders do is they sit down and they try to lay out. And people are welcome to give thoughts and advice to them and things that they see and all that. But our elders sit down and take all those thoughts and they put together a budget, a goal, a hope that we hope will go toward as a congregation to help further God's work in this area. And that includes ministers, and that includes missionaries, and that includes a place to worship, and that includes outreach efforts, and that includes helping people, and includes Bible classes, and on and on. In fact, we have copies of those budgets in the library on the table in there if you'd like to see what every year's laid out for that year. And so the vision is set before, and then we decide, do I believe in that? Do I believe in this? And the generosity of God's people is how the work of God gets done all over the world. It's why we can tell young people, hey, you ought to think about being a preacher when you grow up, because God's people give toward that sort. And you can be a full-time in ministry. And those of us that are full-time in ministry, I promise you that fact's not lost on us. That it's the giving and the believing in God's kingdom idea of God's people is what makes these things possible. So God lays the vision before us, before His people, and then says, if you believe in it, give toward it. We try to follow that same pattern here at Great Oaks. So giving starts with God. Giving should then flow through us as God's people. And then that third piece of the circle, giving should result in bringing glory to God. Everything we try to give together as a church family, the goal is to produce glory to God. If it's not doing that, then we need to think about why in the world are we doing this? We don't need to be giving toward this. We don't need to be doing this activity if it's not bringing glory to God. And you see that here in this passage. Paul says, as you give toward this offering that they were taking up to give to the poor Christians in Jerusalem, he says, you'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, for all ability to give, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So these Christians in Jerusalem and other people perhaps that would receive it or see it would then be thanking God because of what they see is given here. You see it again in verse 12. He says the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. So it not only helps people, but it produces thanksgiving to God. Verse 13 says the same thing. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. So people see, hopefully, the works of the church, the works of God, and they glorify God because of it. And that's one thing to think about, too, with what we give toward. We want to make sure we're giving toward the types of things the Bible's talking about, which is things that bring glory to God. There's a lot of good things to give toward. You can give to all of them. I hope we're generous people and give toward a lot of things. I want to make sure we're giving toward the things that actually produce glory to God in the name of God. One example of that, just for myself, every year there's natural disasters that come about. We'll have hurricanes, we'll have wildfires, we'll have all sorts of stuff that will happen. And all of us who are from the outside looking in, if you care about people, you start thinking, boy, what can we do to try to help out? There's a lot of good places to give toward those things. For myself personally, a few years ago, I started realizing and became more aware of Churches of Christ Disaster Relief in Nashville. And what they do is they go into these places and work through the churches and help give that same relief to people who've been affected by hurricanes and fires and all that other stuff, and work through the churches so that people know this is being given through people who love Christ, and it hopefully produces glory to God. And I thought, boy, that's the way I'd, if I have to make a choice, that's the way I'd like to give toward that sort of thing. Things that not only help people, which is great and fine, but help people and bring glory to God. That's the type of stuff that the Bible is talking about to give toward. You can give toward a lot of stuff. Let's make sure we're giving toward things that bring glory to God. And hopefully, everything we do as a church fits in that category, or we don't need to be doing it. So, this is the giving circle. You say, well, there's four of them. I don't see where the fourth one's going to go, so I'll put that up in just a second. But giving starts with God. It flows through God's people. And then it results back in bringing glory to Him. You notice that arrow goes back up toward the top. And the fourth one, I've cheated a little bit. God continues the circle. God continues the circle. What I mean by that is God keeps giving. And God keeps giving us opportunities for that circle to continue. Every good and perfect gift keeps coming from God, as James chapter 1 describes His blessings. You see that in this section. Jesus in Luke 6:38. We sometimes call this the Sermon on the Plain. It's similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but it's a different occasion. He says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And again, there's that idea that you can't outgive God. In some way, as God sees us giving toward His work, God gives us more opportunities to give toward His work, to continue that circle. Like a wise manager who notices how the people under him or her are working with their resources that they're given. God sees us trying to use His resources for Him. More opportunities are given for that. And you see it in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's not a promise that giving is going to make you rich. My understanding is you can watch some shows on television that's going to make you think that, that preachers will stand up and say things like, you send me money for my ministry and God will make you rich. That's not what this passage is talking about. What this passage is talking about is as we try to glorify God with our resources, physical, spiritual, time, talents, God gives more. God gives more opportunities in all those ways. So God keeps the circle of giving going. We want to make sure we're doing the same. So let's close in by thinking about our part in that circle. I hope you see how the whole circle fits together. If I understand the whole circle, giving becomes more something I want to do. But if I take just giving out of that, and somebody starts talking about giving, I start asking questions. Why are we just talking about giving? But when I see it in this context, God has given to me, I believe in bringing glory to God. I want to be part of that, that number three. That boy, I want to be a channel that flows God's blessings toward bringing glory to Him, to bringing, helping people get closer to the kingdom of God. I believe in that. So what we want to do, let's let thankfulness, noticing God's blessings, let's let thankfulness in our hearts produce a generous heart that brings glory to God. So I want to see God's blessings. I want to let that produce a generous spirit in myself. And I want to bring glory to God through that. That's what giving is supposed to be. Hopefully that's who we are as Christians. Part of that circle, using God's blessings the right way. This morning, if you're not a Christian or if we can pray for you, we'd love to pray for you. And we're about to sing a song. And during the song, if you'd like to come to the front, we'll be down front ready to talk with you. We can have a special prayer on your behalf. Maybe there's sin in your life you'd like us to pray for. Maybe there's just something going on in your life you'd like us to pray for. We would love to lift you up before God this morning. James 5:16 says we're supposed to be praying for one another. This is one of many chances you have to do that if you'd like us to pray for you. Or if you're not a Christian, this is, I think, a good description of how the Bible describes to become a Christian. You find this in the New Testament. To hear about Jesus, to believe in Him, to turn your life around, to confess your faith in Him, and to be baptized into Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're ready to be baptized into Christ. Take that final step where all those come together, where your faith comes together, where your repentance comes together because you rise to walk a new life. We can let you confess your faith in Christ today and be baptized into Him if you'd like to do that. we can help you in any way, you're invited to come to the front now while we stand and while we sing.